Okay, today we're going to, we'll just read the first line in the Mishnah, Ayin Amud Aleph, that we didn't do together. Ha'arel v'chol ha'tmeim lo yochlu b'truma. That's the issue we're discussing right now. It's really just the arel. Okay, the arel can't eat truma. Okay, if you don't have a brit milah, you can't eat truma. So now, the whole question is why. So I'm going to go back a little bit to what we did on what you did on Ayin. I put it on the sheet. I charted it out. We're going to basically compare Rabbi Elazar shita to Rabbi Akiva shita. So we'll start with the sheet that I made up. We'll start reviewing a little bit of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, we learn it from Gzeira Shava of Toshav V'Sachir from Pesach. Okay, so I brought the Pesukim here, although I just realized I didn't bring the Pesuk that talks about Truma. Anyway, I brought the Pesukim from Pesach. So if you look in Shmot Yugimel Memhei, right underneath the chart are all the Pesukim. It says, in Memhei, Toshav V'Sachir lo yochalbo. There's all sorts of people who can't eat the Korban Pesach. So one of them is the Toshav V'Sachir. So it says there, they can't eat the Korban Pesach. And then it says it also by Truma, the Toshav V'Sachir. Now I don't remember the exact pasuk. I'll look it up here. V'chol zar lo yochal kodesh. That was the pasuk we saw last week. And then the end of that pasuk is Toshav Kohen V'Sachir lo yochal kodesh. Okay, so our Rabbi Elazar says, we learn Zera Shava. In both cases, it says that Toshav V'Sachir can't eat it. So therefore, we're going to learn, remember what Gzeira Shava is? The same words appear in both places. What's true for one is going to be true for the other. So if the Toshav V'Sachir can't eat by Pesach and they can't eat by Truma, then something else about Truma is also going to be the same as Pesach. And what are we going to say that is? That's the Arel. Just like the Arel can't eat, also Pesach, also he can't eat the Truma. Then the Gemara went through a whole thing. First, they had to prove that Toshav and Safir were pnuyim, right? That they were available. So if not, they would have asked a question. I'm not going to go through everything that went on yesterday. But the second part that went on is exactly the same, and that's why I charted it out. It's going to be the exact same question, or at least a mirror image of it, we're going to ask the same questions of Rabbi Akiva. Basically, what we're saying is, if we're going to exclude the Arel, right? The Arel lo yochalo, also, for Truma, then why don't we say some other laws that are true about Pesach are also true? If we're making Gzeira Shava, we're saying what's true about Pesach is true about Truma, then we should say other things like Onim. And what do we learn about Onim? We learn Dafka, Kol Zar Yochalbo. The Zar can't eat, but the Onim can eat. So why wouldn't we learn if the Onim also can't eat by Korban Pesach? Why wouldn't we learn the same, right? Once we compare Pesach is equal to Truma, then we want to say, how is it equal? It's equal for Arel, and now we're going to say maybe it should be equal for Onei, right? Why is Onei not going to be the same, right? Why would you include one and exclude the other? So then they're going to answer, well, we have a drasha, b'chol zar, zarut b'lo aninu. And then they're going to say, but why doesn't that drasha work to say, in the drasha, yeah, it's true we have a drasha, but the drasha could have said, zarut amarti b'lo arelut. So it's all a debate about what's in, what's out. And then they say, well, why would one be in and one out? So one reason they gave is that Arelut has a whole series of chumrot. It has five chumrot to it, okay, which we're going to see inside today. Also, that's why I'm kind of reviewing this, because it's going to be the exact same parallel suga for Rabbi Elazar and for Rabbi Akiva. So if you look here, we're skipping down. Mistabra Arelut havelei l'ribuye shekem ma'asim krutim b'davar ha'eved, which is Rashi Tevot 4, it's mechusar maaseh. In other words, you can do a maaseh. In other words, it's just missing a maaseh to be done. It's a maaseh begufo. It happens to his body. It's anush karet. It's yeshno lefnei adibur, meaning it was given before Matan Torah. And milat zcharav avadav me'akevet. Okay, when it comes, right, also there's this issue that you have to not only do brit milah for yourself, but also for all your avadim. And then the Gemara says, but wait, there's a whole bunch of chumra bayaninut, which is yeshna b'chol sha'ah, which means that it might happen to you multiple times in your life. Whereas once you deal with the arelut problem, it's done forever, okay? You don't ever have to fix it, okay? But when it comes to aninut, it could happen many times for all your relatives. Noheget ba'anashim u'binashim, okay, right? Brit Milah is only 50% of the population. And he can't fix himself. So that already puts it, right? There's nothing you can't fix the situation of aninut. It's there. So, but then they say no, because if you count, right, there's five chumrot for arelut and three for aninut. So that means that arelut is going to be the one that we're going to say is aser, because there's more chumrot, as opposed to aninut, which is less chumrot. Okay, so this was all to say, if Arel, we're going to say from Toshava Sachir, we're going to learn Arel also, right? That's the Gzera Sheva. We're going to learn Arel from Pesach to Truma. Why don't we learn Onin? And that's in the end what they say. And then they give one last reason, which is that's Rava. Okay, we're at almost the second to last part on the chart. Rava Amar Belo Hanach Nefishin Nami Lo Matzid Amar. Even if you don't have hold of the fact that there's 5 verses 3. Shavkina and Arelu to Ktiv Begufei to Pesach. What does he say? That Arelu, it says in the Pasuk about Pesach. It doesn't say anywhere in the Pesukim that you have to do, that you can't do the Korban Pesach if you're an Onin. So what does that mean? Right? I didn't review what Onin is. Onin means when somebody dies in your family, while you're busy with the burial, you're patur from mitzvot. So what did we say? You're patur from mitzvot, but you can't eat truma, right? However, you can't do the Korban Pesach. How do we know you can't do the Korban Pesach? It doesn't say so in the Pesukim. They learn it after a Midrasha from Maaser. So because it's not directly in the Pesuk, if we're going to make it Gzeira Sheva, we're not going to make it Gzeira Sheva and learn out things that weren't even inherently written in Pesach, that were, you know, learned out from somewhere else. So it makes more sense to learn what's explicitly written. Okay, that catches us up basically to today. Now, and gives us really the intro. Once you get all that, we're going to, if you didn't get it 100%, we're going to get it all again, because we're going to, almost the entire thing, as you can see from the chart, is repeated. That's why I organized it, so you can see what's repeated, what's not, what's kind of mirrored, you know, and almost similar, but almost the same thing. Okay, then there was a side thing where they darshan the word bow. So now the Gemara is going to say, Hashta da'amar bo l'drasha hudata, this word bow, in one of the psukim, was learned out for a drasha. So now they want to know, Kol ben nechar lo yochal bo lamali. If you look in the psukim that I quote, that I put on the sheet from Shmot Yubet, okay, the word bo appears there many times, okay? Vayomer shel Moshe av Aaron, Zochu kacha pesach, kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. First one. V'kol eved ish mekna kesef, umalta oto, az yochal bo. Okay, toshav asachir lo yochal bo. And at the end of that pasuk, v'chol arel lo yochal bo. So they want to darshan out all the bows. We actually learned some of these in Pesachim. So kol ben nechar lo yocha bo lamali bo hamarata posela ve'en hamarata posela b'maser. They want to compare Pesach and Maser, which we saw they already compared and learned from Maser to Pesach about the Onen. Now they're going to say that there's something unique about Pesach that isn't about other mitzvot and Maser particularly. They're saying that if you aren't a believing Jew anymore, okay, you become a Christian. Now, for all intents and purposes, we still consider you a Jew, but you can't do the Korban Pesach. Okay, interesting halacha. Kol arel lo yochal bo lamali. So what's the bo for in this case? Bo eino ochel, aval ochel hu b'matzah umarur. Okay, he can't eat the Korban Pesach in arel, but he is allowed to eat the other stuff, the matzah and the maror, which are also mitzvot of the night. He's allowed to eat. Now, they want to know why you need Arel and Ben Nechar, and you couldn't have learned one from the other, okay? V'itzrich l'michtav Arel, v'itzrich l'michtav kol Ben Nechar. This now goes not to the issue of Bo, about the Hamarat Dad and all that. Now we're going back to just the pshat of those psukim. Why wouldn't you think a Ben Nechar and an Arel, you can learn one from the other, okay? So now they're going to say, D'ikat avrachmana Arel mishum demais. Aval Ben Nechar delo mais emalo. Arel is always considered ma'us, disgusting. Okay, in the Torah, they always consider the arelim as meusim. So an arel is kind of disgusting, so that's why you would think he wouldn't be included. But a ben nechar, who's a born Jew, but doesn't believe anymore, you would think, okay, he's not disgusting. Yeah, you know, we don't, it's a problem that he doesn't believe anymore, but we wouldn't call him disgusting. So you might have thought he'd be allowed to do the korban. V'ikat abrachmana kol ben nechar, and if you just had that case, what would you think? Mishum de'en libo l'shamayim. Just because someone isn't circumcised doesn't mean they don't believe. You could still be a believing Jew who just wasn't circumcised. Okay, remember, there's also situations where you can't circumcise, where, you know, two of your brothers died, or three, depending on, right, the machloket, from Brit Milah. So then you'd be patur, but you could be a nice believing Jew and believe in everything. You just, so that's the chiddush, that you need each of them to prove that even in the other case, that would be. Okay, now they're going to ask one question, not really answer it. We're going to get to it in a few dapim, so I'm going to kind of read it, but leave it aside. Mimenu, mimenu. Okay, the pasuk says, that's not the pasuk that I quoted here. It's al tochlu mimenu v'ashel mubushal b'mayim, gimsli esh rosho al kirbo v'kra'av v'al kirbo. And then it says, actually, they don't bring all the pasukim here. The next pasuk has mimenu another two times. Okay, so they're going to darshan. Why does it say mimenu so many times? Let me just find the pasuk for you for a second.
I
thought they were all in Shmot. No, it's Shmot Pasuk Yud. Yud. You have a thing? Okay, so just open Shmot Pasuk Yud or your bed or wherever it is. I'll see it. I'll find it here. Right, Perek Yud Pasuk. Well, Ted is the one I just read, and then Yud, I think, is the next one, and that's where it is. Okay, so Shmot Yud. Ted and Yud. Shmot Perek Yud Pasuk Ted and Yud. Right. Al tochlu mimenu now v'ashem b'shav amayim. That's the one I read. The next pasuk is v'lo totiru mimenu aboker v'anotar mimenu aboker ba'etz shisrofu. Okay, there it says mimenu three times in those two pasukim. So you're going to say, what's all the mimenu for? Like, once we're darshaning these pasukim, they basically say, let's darshan them more. And then they say, l'chedurab am Rabbi Yitzchak, okay, for something that he says. Okay, and we'll see it in a few dapim. It comes up. Okay, Rashi says there on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Mar. Now we're going back. So this was all Rabbi Eliezer, we explained. That's where all the Hakdama I gave, right? His whole shita about the Gzera Shavat HaShavat Sakhir. And then we went into all these questions about him. And from those questions, they kind of, you know, springboarded off into some drashot about the Pesukim in Shmot. Now we're going to go back to Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Mar.
This whole thing was because he said that it was the half Gzera Shavat and then you can refute it. Is that why they have to bring this whole thing up?
No, they brought this because even if it's a half Gzera, right, even if they're available, they're not available, then we have this Gzera Shavat. Once we have a Gzera Shavat, we want to know why are we including a rail in the Gzera Shavat, but we're not learning Onim from Pesach. Okay? That was the whole question that we wanted to know. Okay? Why Dafka did one drasha pick to include Arel in the Isur to eat Pesach, which then we're going to learn the Isur to eat Truma. And the other drasha said that when it comes to Truma, Zar can't eat it, but an Onin can't eat it. Why don't you say an Arel can't eat it, right? Because let's say you're a Kohen who's not a Zar, he's an Arel, so maybe he should also be allowed to eat it. So they're saying, why did you arbitrarily, almost right, it seems arbitrary, why pick the Arel to include in the Isser and Onain to say it's Mutar, you know, okay. And you, okay, that was the whole question. We're going to see the exact same thing here, okay? Because whether you say it's a Gzerah Shavah from Shoshav and Sakhir, or you say what Rabbi Akiva says, which we're going to see right now, okay? Right. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Einot Tzarich, you don't need a Gzera Shava. Why? Harehu Omer, Ish Ish L'Rabot Eta Arel. So there you have it. It says Ish Ish. Okay, what's the pasuk? Ish Ish Muzera Aron. Okay, I also brought it on your sheet, or you could have it on the side of your Gemara if you have. Behu Tzaru Ozav, B'Kodashim Lo Yochal, Ad Asher Yitar. Okay, so what do you see here? Ish Ish from Zera Aharon. What does Ish Ish mean? It means we have to include another person because it says it in double. We're going to include some person you might not have expected. Who else can't eat? We're going to assume it's the Arel. Again, we're going to ask the question. Why did you assume Dafka to include the Arel in the Isser and yet the one not? Okay, that's going to be our flow. So now they say, Ve'ema, why don't you say L'Rabot Ataonein? Right? Why don't you say that? So again, it's not the same thing, oh, well, if Pesach Arel is out and Onan is in, you know, why? I'm sorry, both of them are out, right? These both can't do the Pesach. So why did you only learn that Arel can't do and Onan can do, right? That's basically our question there. And here we're going to say, whether you learn out from Pesach or don't learn out from Pesach, you learn out from this drasha. Why did this drasha specifically include the Arel and not include the Onin in the Isser? Remember, it's always, if you're included, it means you're included in the prohibition, that you're not allowed. So they say, again, the exact same answer. Okay, if you're following the chart, you can see what's the same here. Amar b'yosi bar chanina, amar kra, v'chol zar, it says v'chol zar lo yochabo. What do we learn from there? Zarut amar tilecha v'lo aninut. Okay? It's Zarut, it's not Aninut. So again, they're going to ask, Ema velo Arilut, why didn't you say Bechol Zar and not the Arel? And then you could say Ish Ish L'Rabot HaOnein. Okay? Haktiv, and then, right? And then what would you have? That an Arel can eat, and the Onein can eat. So why'd you choose the opposite? Haktiv, Ish Ish. What do you mean? We have a Drasha, that's why. So they say, well, so what? You have a drasha, umareita. In other words, what? It's true standing nowadays, right? We say, oh, well, we include one and X to the other because the drasha said so. But why did the drasha say so? That's really the question, right? Why did one drasha include that and one drasha exclude the other one? So now they're going to say, mistabra arelut havaleli ribuye. Okay, right? What's with arelut? Arelut is more chamor. Why? Shekain, again, this ma'asim krutim b'davar ha'evet. It's mechusar ma'aseh u'ma'aseh b'gufo, right? It's missing an act. And it's a maaseh begufo on his body. Ve'anush karet, okay? And you get a punishment of karet. Ve'yeshno lefnei adibur, and it was given before Matan Torah. U'milat charav avadav ma'akevet. And also you have to give a bri milah to your zcharim and your avadim in your household. So again, that makes it more chamor. Adrabah, they say, wait, but aninut, havele l'ribuye. You should have included aninut because there also, there's a bunch of chumrot. What are the chumrot? Shekein yeshna b'chol sha'ah, that many people in your family might die and you'll have to deal with them, so it can keep coming back. V'noheget b'anashim v'nashim, right, it's men and women. V'ein b'yado l'taken atzmo, and he can't fix the situation. So now what do they answer again? Ha'anach nefishan, right, there's more kamuti, right, there's more, there's five versus three, so arilut is obviously more chamor, and that's the one that can't eat truma, but the onen can eat truma because it's less chamor.
Why do they say you can't fix it? You can bury.
So right, it's true you can bury, but no matter what, right, I guess it's not, yeah, it's a good question. You really...
Isn't it till the end of the day, even so?
Even if you bury them? I don't think it's till the end. No, I think it ends when you bury them. Right? It's a good question. I actually also thought that in my head. Why can't you...
Well, you still have a period where you are... Sorry, doesn't
but
matter.
The same thing with the Aril. You also have a period where you're... Although really not necessarily, because you should have done it on the eighth day and then it would have been done. And it, in other words, it could have been avoided. I mean, still, you could say, well, you have stuff to do... Right, but I guess... I don't know. Like, you, in theory, a brit milah could be done chick-chock. A burial needs preparation and stuff. Obviously, a brit milah, especially if you're a grown-up, needs preparation also. It's not like a chick-chock thing and, you know, simple. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're a baby, I don't know. It's a different type of, but I agree. It's not a perfect answer here in terms of a perfect difference.
They don't even bring up that one's d'oraita and one's d'rabbanan.
And you're saying onen is d'rabbanan, really. It's
well,
not.
There's only one opinion in Moed Katan, right? I think they learned that it was d'oraita.
Uh-huh. I don't remember now about onen. That's interesting,
really?
Right?
I don't know that.
Well, if they're saying they learn it from master.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Did we?
Could be. You're probably right.
Right.
It wasn't somebody inside. It was one
mm-hmm. About whether it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan. Uh-huh. Right. Interesting. Okay. I don't recall. Good that
but
you remember. It's good to look
up.
This
stuff is absolutely d'oraita. So it's weird that they wouldn't use that as the
right as a good criteria. So, right. It's hard to say that onen could be more serious than arelut. I mean, brit milah is clearly, you know, it's the only right that and pesach are the only aseh that. That you get courage for not doing the mitzvah to say. Like, it's definitely up there. It's also interesting, it doesn't mention, which we've seen in other places, Nichrutu alei yugimu britot. You remember that? We saw a whole list of things about brit milah that are so strong and important. Anyway, Rava again is going to say, without the game of five versus three, okay, he's going to now say something a little different than he said the other time. Below Hanach Nefishin, Nami lo matzid amrit, right? You still, even without that game of playing three versus five, you still wouldn't have said aninut. Why? Because amr kra ish ish. Ezehu davar sheyeshno bi ish ve'eno bi isha. Here he's going to stress, ish means man. Man and not a woman. So what is relevant to a man and not a woman? Heve omer zohar elut, right? In other words, it's obvious that when you have the ish ish drasha, we're obviously talking about brit milah because we'll be talking only about something that relates to an ish. So now, okay, that's basically the same ping pong that we saw with Rav Elazar. Now it happened here, again with minor differences depending on what it was. Now they're going to ask the other question, which is Rabbi Akiva, Hai Toshav Sakhir my Avidle. What does he do now with this Toshav Sakhir? Right? Remember we showed already that it was unnecessary in the Pesach Pasuk, right? We saw in the Truma Pasuk you needed it to teach you about the Eved Ben Sheshanim and the Eved that was the Eved Lo Olam. Okay, that they don't get to eat truma. And now, right, like if you're a Kohen and you have an Eved Ivri in your house, he can't eat truma. But then, what about, right, that was what we, right, that was the... Right, because it's not a kinyan, because you don't own his goof.
Right.
Okay, you're not, when he's an Eved Ivri, you don't own him. So he doesn't get to eat truma. I wonder what he does eat then. If he's in your house, you're Eved Ivri, what would he eat then? Again, it would be the same problem as all those other people who were, right? It would be a difficult situation. Anyway, right, because you would think you're supposed to take care of him and therefore he should be eating truma, but he's not. So now, what does he do? But we said that Tosham and Sakhir for Pesach were unnecessary because obviously it's not talking about the Eved Ivri, but he can't do the Korban Pesach just because he's an Eved. Obviously he does Korban Pesach. So what is Toshava Sakhir for? So he explained, that's its panoi, now for the drasha. But what did Rabbi Akiva say? Because he doesn't use this drasha. Amar Rav Shmaya, La'atuye Aravim Mahul V'Givonim Mahul. Okay, these are people, Arabs and the Givonim, okay, that were from the time of Yahushua. These were people that were known to circumcise their children. Okay, they generally did circumcision. So now what's it trying to tell you? Toshava Sakhir. That it's to say that Toshav Sakhir lo yocha, but what does that mean? That means people who are circumcised, but not for the purposes of Judaism. Okay? Now it talks about this concept of how do we treat people who are circumcised, but aren't circumcised for the sake of being a Jew, and aren't Jewish. So now he says that comes to exclude them. They can't do the Korban Pesach. Don't think that because Kol Arel lo yocha bo, that we mean, if someone did a Brit Milah, they can do the Korban Pesach. Even if they're not Jewish. So now the Gemara says, what a kind of a ridiculous thing are you saying? Why do you need a drasha for that? Hani mulin ninu? Do we call those people that they're circumcised? Like, yes, technically, medically, maybe they're circumcised, but we don't call them Jews. Like, when we use the term, and now they're going to prove it, when we use the term mulim versus arelim, we don't mean, did you have a Brit Milah or did you not have a Brit Milah? We mean Jews, non-Jews. That's our distinction. That's what we mean. So now they're going to show it even more so, okay? Vahatnan, it says in the Mishnah, okay, I didn't check, but I assume it's in Nedarim. Yeah, in Nedarim. Konam sha'ani nehanel arelim. If you make a neder that you're not going to get any benefit from an arel, okay, so your mutar ba'arle Yisrael, if there's someone in the Jewish community that didn't get circumcised for some reason, you're allowed to get benefit from him because you didn't mean a Jewish person. You meant a non-Jewish person. And you're asur b'mulei avdei kachavim. Even though you said, I'm only not going to get benefit from arelim, okay, non-circumcised people, you're going to included in that isur are non-Jews who have a brit milah, okay, who are circumcised. I shouldn't say have a brit milah, right? They're circumcised. And likewise, if you say konam she'ani nehenel mulim, if you say I'm not going to get any benefit from someone who has a brit milah, so now again it's going to be the opposite. You're mutar b'mulei avdei kochavim v'asur b'arlei Yisrael, as you clearly meant. I'm not getting benefit from Jews. So therefore, you're mutar to get benefit from Ovdei Kochavim, even if they're circumcised, and you're forbidden to get benefit from any non-circumcised Jews. So here you see, there's absolutely no reason to have had a drasha for that. So you can't say Toshav HaSachir is coming to tell you that. Ela, so what is it coming to include? La tuye ger shamal velo taval, v'katan shenolad kashu mahu. Okay, now. You're going to have to say it comes to include. Now, this is a thing we saw machloket about, if you remember. If a ger does the brit milah, but he hasn't yet toveled. So Toshav HaSachir is coming to say that person is not a Jew and he can't, right? He hasn't finished the process. He can't do the Korban Pesach with you. And likewise, a baby who's born circumcised, both these people, right? They got circumcised, but they're not fully, right? The baby was born circumcised. So he's not yet mahul, though. In other words, he's considered, you have to do hatzafat dam brit. So he's not a full, right? He's still considered an arel. So that's what's coming to tell you, that these two people, even though technically they have a brit milah, since they didn't, the ger didn't finish the process, and the baby didn't do what we call hatzafat dam brit. Okay, if a baby's born without an orla there, basically, he's basically circumcised, you have to draw a little bit of blood, okay? That's what we do also if someone goes through giyur, and he was circumcised at birth, but he wasn't circumcised for the sake of coming into the Jewish people, so we do what's called hatafat and brit, we draw a teeny bit of blood, and that's his...
Didn't we learn that there... Some people
say that. Yafeh. So we're going to see this in a second, okay? And even with a katam, we're going to see that some people think that okay? So now, that's what... So let's, before we get there, Rabbi Akiva says that's what Toshav and Sakhir come to teach you. Number one, a ger shamal v'lo taval, right? He can't do the Korban Pesach. And a child that was born mahul can't do the Korban Pesach. So until he has hatafat and brit. So now they're going to say, again, now we have to flip back. Rabbi Lezer, well, what is... If he learns Toshav HaSachir from Gzera Sheva, where does he learn these two things? So we're going to just say very simply, he doesn't learn these two things because he doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva about these things. So first they're going to say, Rabbi Lezer l'ta'ameh, he's the one who said, De'amar ger shamal v'lo taval ger ma'al yehu. He said he's a perfect ger. Even if he just did the Brit Milah, he hasn't yet toveled, he's a Jew already. So therefore, he doesn't need to exclude him from the Pasuk, from Tosha V'Sachir, because he already thinks he's a Jew. And then you'd have to say, here I don't think he says this specifically, but I think they're assuming, he would have to hold then the Katan Shen Olav Mahul, Ein Sarich Latif Mimenu Dam Brit. Okay, and he would hold that side of the Machlok, and then he wouldn't need those words for that, and then he can learn his Drasha from it. Okay. So now the last question we're left with is Rabbi Eliezer, Hai Ish Ish Mayavid Leh. So what does he do with Ish Ish? And now we're going to have a very simple answer. Dibra Tarak El Shom B'nei Adam. It's just a way of speaking, a manner of speaking, to say Ish Ish. Okay? And this is something, right? It's a whole thing. Does the Torah speak El Shom B'nei Adam or does it not? Can we darshan things? Right? Okay. So he says we don't need to darshan anything from there. Okay, that's our whole ping pong back and forth. Now we're going to go to a question about...
Wait, before we go on, somewhere at the end of the daf yesterday, so a question whether Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Akiva matched, was it Rebbe? Do you remember that?
Whether they went?
Yeah, there was like a shita, and they were saying, so Rabbi Eliezer matches Rebbe, but also Rabbi Akiva might match Rebbe. Was it Rebbe or Rabbanan? I don't remember.
That's before the
Mishnah. Yeah.
It was?
Yeah, I don't think it's here. Rebbe?
Okay, it doesn't matter then.
Okay. I don't think it was here. Was it here? Because I think we basically went through everything except for the bottom part, which was...
It was the last one.
It was about the
Kleinga,
though. I think it... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so
I don't think it's here. Okay. So now... Now we're going to see another question, okay? And now we want to know, when do we call a baby an arel? That he's not... Is a baby considered an arel the first 7 days before you do a brit milah? Or is he not? Okay, if we're going to say call arel, can't eat truma, right?
Can't eat truma anyway before he's 7 days.
Ah, so we're going to see he can benefit from truma. What can he benefit? We're going to talk about... The question is going to be on oil, putting oil on a baby. Now, people use baby oil, right? So what do they use? Their oil. Oil from what?
That's
from
very interesting,
the things that they had.
Because the Shomronim that still do Korban Pesach, they say that any baby that's born, they rub the oil on the baby's lips. And even in the hospital, if it's a brand, like a newborn that was born.
They rub what oil?
The oil
what?
From the meat. Or from
the Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
Okay.
They say that every baby... even if you're just a few hours old.
So here the question is, if you have oil that's truma oil, can you put it on a newborn baby? Because that baby can't get benefit from truma if they're an arel. If we just said an arel can't eat truma, then the assumption is he can't benefit from truma at all, because truma is asur bahana.
But he's not allowed to, like... He's not allowed to be circumcised until he's 8.
Right, so that's going to be the question. Okay, in the end, that's what they're going to say, okay? But first, they have a thought that maybe... He really is considered arel, because arel just means, you know, but brit milah, whether it's your fault or it's not your fault. Like, we call an arel if someone whose brothers, you know, all died, then he's considered an arel. You know, he can't do a brit milah because it's dangerous. On the other hand, he's still called an arel. So now, we're going to see here what the story is. By Rav Chama Bar Okva. Okay, Rav Chama Bar Okva asked, Katan arel mahu l'socho b'shemen shel truma. Can you put, anoint him with, right, or what's the word, to put oil on him of truma. Arelut shelo bezmana ma'akva, olo ma'akva. In other words, arelut not in its proper time, which means really, right? Arelut in the first 7 days before he can actually do his brit milah, is that ma'akev or not ma'akev? Okay, does it prevent you from? Does that consider you an arel or not? Amar Rabbi Zera, Tashma. Let's learn it from this source. Okay, first we have to learn the source, then we're going to learn how we learn it from this source. Okay, before we learn the source, I just want to show you the two pesukim we're going to darshan. Okay, look back on the first side of your sheet on Shemot Yobet. In Pasuk Mem Dalet, it says, "Bechol eved ish miknat kasef." Okay, any eved that you own, umaltau to you give him a brit milah, and az yochal bo, and then you can eat the korban. The next pasuk we're going to see is "Vechi agorit chager." Okay, vasa pesach laHashem. Okay, then it says, "Himol lo kol zachar." You have to make sure that all of the zacharim in your house have a brit milah. But as yikrav lasoto, yikrav lasoto, they assume means instead of as yochalbo, eating the korban, as yikrav lasoto means shechting the korban. So now the shechting happens at chatzot of yudalad, right? And the eating happens later in the day. So now they're going to say, right, by the evet it stresses the time of eating, and by the child, it's the zcharim, it stresses the time of shechita. So this is what they're going to say. Okay, let's read the drasha. Ainli ela milat zcharav bishat asiya. Okay, we have in this pasuk, right, we see milat of the zcharim in his house, bishat asiya, which means at the time of shechita. Vavadav bishat achila. Okay? So, right? That you need to have avadim malim bishat achila. Minayin litana ta'amor shel zeh bezeh ve'et ta'amor shel zeh bezeh. How do we know that both times are relevant for both of them? Shechita is relevant also for the avadim, and achila is relevant also for the scharim. How do we know that? Tamud lamar az. Okay, both those pasuk said az yochavo after he does it, and az dikrav lasato. So they're going to make Gzeira Shava and say that really the time of achila and the time of shechita are relevant to both. Okay, you both the scharim and the avadim need to have a brit milah both at the time of shechita and at the time of achila. So now, what's going to be the problem? How could you possibly have a brit milah at the time of shechita and not have a brit milah at the time of achila? If achila happens later, how could you possibly be mal, right, at the earlier stage and not be mal at the later stage? So it has to be a situation that what? That it wasn't, remember, this whole pasuk is all about the owner of the household, that he didn't have any arelim in his possession at the time of the shechita. So it doesn't mean that the person or the kid was mal earlier and then became uncircumcised. It meant that they weren't maybe belonging to him at the time of shechita, right? Let's say, okay, so we're going to see. By an eved, it's very simple, okay? Bishlama avadav. Mishkacha leidi nehu b'shat achila v'lit nehu b'shat asiyah. We could see that you wouldn't have had him at the time of shechita and you would have had him at the time of achila. Like what? Kigon dezavninu b'ne b'ne. You bought him on your dalit in the afternoon. You purchased an eved, so he wasn't in your possession at the time of shechita, but I don't know what you were doing going purchasing avadim on Erev Pesach, right? You can't do work, you can't do, I don't know who was out selling avadim, but okay, at least you could see somehow he came into your possession in the afternoon. Ela zecharav, di'inu b'shad achila, v'litnu b'shad asiyah, hechi mishkachala. Lav di'idyala ben asiyah la'achila. The only way it could be is if you were born between the shechita and the asiyah. So now what does that prove? Exactly what Debbie, you said, how could that be? That a kid is considered arel right after he's born. Okay? So shema mina, arelu chila b'zmana havi arelu. That's what the Gemara assumes right now. But amar Rava v'tisbira, himolo kol zachar amar achmana, v'az yikrav lasoto. What does it say? Circumcise all your zacharim, and then you can do the korban. Now that obviously includes only zacharim, right? Who can be circumcised. Not a newborn baby. It can't possibly be. It's referring to a newborn baby. You can't even circumcise him. So how could you say this person was derelict in his responsibilities, right? Didn't take care of him. So, v'hai lav bar mihilu. He can't be circumcised. Elahacha b'mayas kinan. So now we're going to have five different answers, okay? What could be the possibility here? Kigon shachalatzto chama. Okay, here's some, right? They're going to say he got sick. Okay, if he's sick, what's the assumption? Well, then he can't do the brit milah, right? And then what happened? He got better exactly in between the shechita and the achila. And then he was supposed to circumcise him at that point. Okay? That's the answer. But then they say, wait. V'neitiv le kol shiv'a. Okay, now whether you read these words or not anyway, you could, they're in parentheses, which you don't really read them, but you could really read them, which says, da'amar shmua chalatz tochama nosnim lo kol shiv'a. There's a halacha that if you get a fever, right, and you're sick, you should wait 7 days before you do the brit milah. It's like almost like you're born again, right? Like you were born at the time or when you got healthy. And therefore, again, it doesn't make any sense, right? If it's 7 days later, well, then he should have done it in the morning before the shechita. So now they say no. So diavina like kol shiva, that the seventh day ended in between the shechita and achila. So now they say no, but that doesn't make sense. V'nimale mitzafra, just like brit milah, what do we count it from? We don't count the hour you're born and say count exactly 7 days, right? And on the eighth day after that, at that hour, you do the brit milah. No, it counts. It's, you know, miksadeom kikulo. So then they say, well, no, you could say beina melei. Maybe in this case, you need exactly 7 days times 24 hours, okay? Maybe brit milah doesn't go by this, but brit milah for a child who's sick maybe would be counted by the hours, in which case, right? Wherever he got better sometime in the afternoon, and then the eighth day ends up for him in the afternoon in between shechita and achila. So now they say, but this can't make sense. Why? V'hatane lo da'a. Okay, that's somebody's name. Yom havra'ato ki yom hivaldo. Okay, the day of birth is like the day he gets better is like the day of birth. So what's the assumption here? My love, is it not my yom huladato lo bi'ina me'le? You don't count by hours. Af yom havrato lo bi'ina me'le. Okay, isn't that what it means? In which case, it would reject what Rav is saying. And then they say, no, that's not what it means. Lo, what does it mean? Adif yom havrato mi yom hivaldo. They add one word there. It means the day you are you get better is adif. Here, adif doesn't necessarily mean better, which normally we translate it. Okay, but it's got something more than yom hivaldo. What is that? De'ilu yom hivaldo lo be'ina me'leid, de'ilu yom havarato be'ina me'leid. Okay, almost like it's more chamor, right? A brit milah, you don't need a full 7 days before you can do it. Right? You can do it on the 8th as soon as, right, if he's born late in the day, right? You do it on the 8th day, even though you haven't had a full 7 days. But when it comes to getting healed, you need, which makes sense actually, right? If they think that there's a certain amount of time you need from healing, it would be from the time you healed. And then we count 7 full days from there. So then that's his answer. Okay, but now we're going to see 4 different answers in addition to his. Rav Papa Amar, Kigon Dekayv Le'ene Le'enuka, V'Iftach Beni Beni. It's not a disease that affects his whole body. In other words, what kind of sickness do we make you wait 7 days? Something that's a serious sickness that's affecting his whole body. But if he just had some pain in his eye, something with his eye, and they wanted to just wait to make sure it was better, and then it got better, specifically between the Shechita and Achila, then you'd be allowed in that case to do the Brit Milah right away. It wouldn't be a situation where you'd need to wait 7 days. Rava Amar, here's an interesting one, creative. Kigon shayu aviv imo chabushim bebeit ha'asurin. Okay, they were captured, so they couldn't do the Brit Milah for their son. Okay, I don't know when she got captured, that, or maybe she had the baby there, but somehow it wasn't a place where she was able to do the Brit Milah. And basically, right then you would say, and they got out exactly between the Shechita and the Achila, they were redeemed, right? Perfect timing for Pesach, right? Getting out of slavery. And then they'd have to do their Brit Milah right away, and they wouldn't be allowed to Korban Pesach. Rav Kahana Bered, Rav Nechemya Amar, Kigon Tum Tum. Okay, the baby was a Tum Tum. Remember, a Tum Tum is someone where their Evarim are hidden. And then Shenikra, okay? And then it opened up, V'nimsa Zachar Bani Bani. Okay, and it turns out he was a Zachar. Rav Shrev Yamar, Kigon Shahotziro. Okay, if you thought those were strange, this is the really strange one, okay? And the Gemara is going to even talk about how strange this one is. Kigon Shahotziro Shochutz Liprozdor. Okay, the baby's head comes out, okay? It's unclear exactly how far it comes out, but it comes out somewhat, but yet isn't born till 7 days later. And the assumption is that the Brit Milah is counted, yeah, from when the time that the baby's head starts to come out. Okay, you missed it, but the baby's head started coming out, and then 7 days later, she has the baby right in between the Shechita and Achila, and the time is counted from, right, the time the head comes out, but then, right, the Chiyuv, right, can't be until he actually comes all the way out, because he can't do the Brit Milah before that, so he comes out exactly then. Okay, so now they say, Umichai, could a baby survive like this? Like, what's going on here? Vahatanya, doesn't it say in a brighter? Kevan shiatza la'avir ha'olam, niftach ha'sadum v'nistama patuach. Okay, how does a baby survive? A baby normally lives by, right, once you're alive, you eat through your mouth. But when the baby's baby is a fetus, what happens? He eats through the umbilical cord, okay? So the umbilical cord is open when he's inside the womb, and the mouth is closed. When the baby comes out, the mouth opens, it shuts down. So now, right, that's what they're saying. So now what happens? This baby comes to Avir HaOlam, what's he surviving on those 7 days? He can't survive on anything because his mouth, let's say his mouth is open, but nobody's feeding him like that, right? And the umbilical cord, right, is finished, right? Like it's closed, right? It's not working anymore. So what do they say? She'omale ken en yochol l'chiyot afilu sha'achat. So here's an even interesting answer. Hacha b'mayas kinan kegon dezante ishta. Okay, what does that mean? Rashi says, hacholi zan et hachole. There's some sickness here, and either the heat of the sickness, like a fever, is making the baby survive. Okay, some people say that maybe because the baby himself might have a fever, and then the baby loses its appetite and doesn't need food, which is a strange thing to think. Or somehow the mother has a fever, and we're going to actually see that the Gemara is going to ping pong back. Is it him who has the fever, the baby, or him or her, or the mother? So ishti deman, who's the one who's sick? Ilema ishti didei, he is sick, the baby. Ihachi kol shiva bai. Then, right, the baby would need another 7 days if it was that the baby was sick. And all the time the baby's surviving on its own sickness somehow, which I don't know exactly how that works. But if it's a case where the baby's sick, so obviously you would need another 7 days to count from when the baby's born, and then this wouldn't be a good answer. Ela dezante ishta deime. Okay, so the sickness of the mother is is giving him, it must be that it's the sickness of the mother, and that's somehow giving him what to survive on. V'ibay dema, hanimile delo ma'ave, aval hecha de ma'ave michyachaya. Okay, here there's different nuschaot. Okay, Rashi says it has to do with the baby's crying or not crying. But there was a perush I saw that seems to make more sense, that it's mu'udeh, okay? And then the explanation, one second, I actually don't recall it 100%, it's that, sorry, it's mi'ureh, not mi'udeh, mi'ureh. That they assume that it's a case where the umbilical cord is still connected, okay? In which, right, so even though his head came out, it didn't immediately close up the connection there, okay? And that's what they're saying, that it's still mechubar, and therefore the baby would still survive. Which actually makes the most sense if we're going to talk about a situation like this. Anyway, it's a weird situation. Okay, so those are all your answers. Okay, the five answers for how this baby could not have been chayav at the time of shchita, but is chayav at the time, by the time of achila. Okay, and this was all because, again, we were trying to prove, remember, is a baby less than 7 days, or less than 8 days, right, before his brit milah considered an arel that he can't eat truma? And it seems to me that the answer is he's not considered an arel. Okay? Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bna'a, arel mekabel haza'a. Okay? The whole question is, can an arel get, let's say he becomes tameh, okay, tameh meit, can you be mazalav? Okay? So now they're saying it can't. You can. How do we know? Here we're going to learn from what happened when Yehoshua. Okay, shekem matzinu bavotenu. I don't know if you recall this, but when Bnei Yisrael, we'll read it inside a little bit. Bavotenu shekiblu hazaah kashehen arelim shenemar. Okay, v'ha'am alumin har yardein be'esur lachodesh harishon. Okay, what did they do then? Right, it says, I'll read you some of the psukim here. Yehoshua pasuk bet ba'etahi amar Hashem Yehoshua. Aselecha chorvot zurim v'shuv mol epnei Yisrael shenit. Okay, he says to him, okay, anybody wants to look, you can open. He says to him, he says to Yehoshua, Hashem says to Yehoshua, make yourself some, you know, knives, blades, and give a brit milah to Bnei Israel again. When they get into the land, they have to do another brit milah. Okay, and then it says in Pasuk Hey, Kimulim hayu kol ha'am yotzim. Okay, they did have a brit. Everyone who got out of Egypt had a brit milah, but in the time of the desert, right, they didn't have a brit milah. Okay, so now what happens? The assumption is, okay, that they were all tamei meit from the desert. Why were they tamei meit? Because everybody, the door who came out of Mitzrayim, everybody died in the desert. The assumption is they weren't doing tum and tara, you know, and taking care of it while they were there. So now they got out of the Yarden on what day? Be'asur l'chodesh harishon. Okay, so on the 10th, they get out of the Yarden. The assumption is, right, then they're gonna do their brit milah, okay? So ba'asara lo mihale mishum choshel d'orcha. Okay, so now on the 10th, for sure they didn't do the brit milah because they had just finished walking through the Yarden. You know, they had finished their long trek. Obviously, you don't do a brit milah when people are tired. So when do they do it? The next day. So let's say now, when do you do hazaah? You do it. You sprinkle the blood, the water, right, on the from the paraduma. You sprinkle it on the third day and the seventh day, right? So if you now want to be tahor for the Korban Pesach, you're never going to make it from the 11th, right? If you do the Hazav the third day on the 11th, right? So then your third day would be the 11th, the fourth day would be the 12th, the fifth day would be the 13th, the sixth day would be the 14th, and the seventh day would be the 15th. You'd miss your opportunity to do the Korban Pesach. So what do they say here? So it must be Hazav emat avid lehu, lab kashem arilim, right? They must have done it when they were arelim. Okay, it must be that they were tahor for the Korban Pesach. So it must be they did the Hazaah before they had the Brit Milah. And then by the 14th, they'd have been tahor. Now the Gemara is going to say, V'dimelo avid Pesach klal. Maybe they didn't do the Pesach at all that year. And then they say, well, that's obviously not, if you remember Yeshua. Pesach. Okay, it says, right? Okay, that's the Pesach Yud in that parak. V'chanu b'dei Yisrael v'gilal v'yasu et ha-Pesach v'arba asal l'chodesh b'erev. They did the Pesach. That was the whole thing. They did this Brit Milah, and then they did the Pesach. Okay, so it must be that you can do Hazaat to someone who's Arel, because here you see that they did. Okay. Matke Plamar Zutra, okay, if you go back to what we learned in Pesachim, V'dilma Pesach Haba B'tumah Haya. Remember, if all of the people are Tumeim, you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah, okay, what's called Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, okay, comes up by Hanukkah. Okay, that, right? It was all Tameh, the Beit HaMikdash, but we allowed the Tumah because all the Tzibur were Tameim, or all the Mikdash was Tameh. So here, what do you have? Okay, and that's why they're saying, why do you have to worry about the Pach Shem and Tahur? Because really, they didn't even need a Pach Shem and Tahur because Tumah Trubet Tzibur. And there's a whole debate about it. So what do they say? Pesach Abba Tumah, maybe. So Amar Le Rav Ashi, Tanya, Behedya, Malu, V'Tavlu, V'Asu, Pesachahem, V'Tara. We have a Braita that tells us, okay, here, now we're not using the text anymore. We don't have the text of the of Yeshua to teach us this. But there's a Braita that says, they did the Brit Milah, they toveled to be Tahorim, and they did it B'Tahara. It was, you know, there. I think there was this concept, right? Our first Pesach we were doing in Eretz Yisrael, right? It was done B'Tahara. So it must be that they did do the Mechatat, and then it must be that they're allowed. Okay. Now we're going to talk about, if we're already talking about this Brit Milah and things we learn from Yeshua, we're going to learn another din from Yeshua. Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Lo Nitna Priyat Milah LaAvram Avinu, Shneamar Be'et HaYamar Hashem Al Yeshua, Aseh Lecha Chorvot Tzurim. Okay, now the key part they don't quote here, which is B'Shuv Molat B'nei Yisrael Shenit. Okay, why Shenit? Okay, so Dil Mahanach Dilo Mahul. So first they want to say, we learn the mitzvah of Priya. What's Priya? There's two parts of Milah. Okay, one is the cutting. That's the Milah, and one is Priya. Before they cut, they first tear back, pull back the foreskin. I know it's whatever, learning this with the women. You pull back the foreskin, and then they cut. So Priya, there's two Shlavim, and each are very important parts. And they're saying that Priya wasn't given to Avram, it was given to Yeshua. Okay, so now they're saying, V'dil machani delo mahul, d'chtiv ki mulima yukalama yotzim, v'cholama yilodim. In other words, aren't we talking about that they gave this commandment to the people who didn't have a Brit Milah? So then why does it say, Vishuv molat b'nei Yisrael shenit? It sounds like, give them a second Brit Milah. So elalav li priya, that must be to tell you, shuv comes to teach you that you need to do the priya. They need to do an extra shlav. Umay shenit, so then what's the word shenit for? Lakush esof milah l'tchilat milah. Ma tchilat milah ma kevet ach sof milah ma akvim bo. Ditnan, Elu hen tzitzin ha-magvin et ha-milah, basar chofed rov atara, ve'en ochel b'truma. Okay, so now they're saying that the beginning part of the milah and the end part are all ma'akev. In other words, every part of it is significant, and therefore if you have some parts that weren't cut properly, then, and it depends what, okay, these are the tzitzin that are ma'akevim, okay, if there's foreskin left that's chofed rov atara, okay, most of the upper part, then you can't eat truma. If you have these tzitzim akvin, you're considered an arel, and then you're not allowed to eat truma. Okay, and then amaravina v'itamer of yirmiyar ba'arba amarav basar chofet rov gov hashalatara. Okay, it's not the the circumference of it, right? It's the height, most of the height of it, rather than most of the hekev, right? The circumference. Okay. And then they're going to say, "Bimidbar, my time alone, mahu." We'll stop here, okay? Some people say, "Ibai dan mishum pulsha de orcha," maybe because they were walking all the time, and that's why. Okay, and tomorrow we'll see. What?
But they weren't.
Right. So we'll see. Exactly, they were in place. It's a weird answer. Anyway, we'll see the two answers tomorrow. The other answer tomorrow. Okay.
I once went on a hike with Chagi Ben Artzi, and he took us down.